It's Tony Mack and the Triplett with your hosts Antonio McBeth and Aaron Triplett, specializing in the world of sports.
I think they're the best team in the country.
Covering your favorite teams.
Alabama wins!
Touchdown over!
And talking about whatever the hell they want.
Because he's a good coach. The good talent wants to play for him.
Absolutely not. This is ridiculous.
Now, here they are, Tony Mack and the Triplett.
Welcome in, everybody. Tony Mack and the Triplett. That's right, the youngest local sports radio show in the Tennessee Valley. Probably the only live, or the best, I'll say the best live local thing going on Saturday mornings in the sports world. But it doesn't really matter what else is going on in the sports world, because we're going to come in here, we're going to knock this thing out of the park, what's going on locally in the sports media world here, because we're going to knock this thing out of the park, and everybody's going to turn over here and listen to us anyway, because that's how we do this thing. We got a great show for you guys loaded up today. A new segment we're going to introduce here in just a few moments, but we've got a great stack of college basketball games today. Personally, for me, you know, you've got the Oklahoma-Texas game where they're honoring Baker Mayfield at halftime. That's just a personal guilty pleasure. But you got Auburn going to South Carolina, out coming off of a big Valentine's Day win over Kentucky. And then, you know, that was Kentucky's first taste of the state of Alabama, because they will host the Alabama Crimson Tide today. The Crimson Tide, I think they've lost their last 7 or 8 against Kentucky. It's been a while since they've beaten Kentucky, 2012, 2013, I think, but they haven't beaten them in Rupp since 2005, 2006. It was a big day for Alabama basketball all over the state. We'll get into that in just a little bit. The NBA All-Star Weekend is finally here. We can talk about that as well. We had everything kick off last night with the Rising Stars Challenge and the Celebrity Challenge. Tonight, you got the Dunk Contest, the Three-Point Contest, and the Skills Challenge. And then on Sunday, it would all culminate in the new NBA All-Star Game, the new format with LeBron and Steph getting to pick their teams. Conference affiliation is out of the equation from here on out, or at least for this year, with a new experiment in the All-Star Game. We got your Shirt of the Week coming up for you with Aaron Triplett. We've got Madison, the city of Madison, officially signed the lease with Ball Corp LLC, officially signed the lease with the city of Madison. We are getting a baseball team. Won't come until 2020. It's a $46 million project. It's going to be a 7,000-seat stadium, multi-purpose. We'll get reactions to everything. We even got a little Olympics in here for you. But before we get into all of that, let me bring on my co-host, my great friend, Aaron Triplett. Aaron, good morning. I know the drive was probably a little wet, but are you glad to be here, ready to get this thing rolling?
Yeah, I mean, we missed last week. No fault of our own. But it's good to be back, and it was a little wet. I tell you, the drive gets to me sometimes, and I've been a commuter for years. I commuted to I had a summer job in Huntsville, commuted for an hour. I spent 2 years at community college, and I drove from home 40 minutes every day to go to from Gunnersville all the way to Gadsden to go to school. And then even my last year of when I was doing my internship, I drove about 30-35 minutes. But now, where I live in relation to my job, I live about 4 minutes away. And so I've kind of gotten into this groove of I drive 4 minutes to work every day. And then on Saturday morning, I get up and I drive an hour and a half to get here. And it's just, because usually, you know, you have that drive, you get used to it, it doesn't seem so bad. And it wasn't. But now, God.
It's funny you mention that.
It's this hour and a half drag, and it's wet and back road. Whoa.
It's funny you mention that. Mine's only 50 minutes to an hour to get here every morning, but I do this drive every day of the week, but Saturday's different. I never quite, even though we've been doing this show for, what, 24th show, something like that, I've been doing it for a while. I make this drive every single day, and Monday through Friday, it's earlier than I do on Saturday mornings. I get up, and I leave the house by about 5:15, 5:20, and I'm here, I'm pulling in about 6:10. Saturday mornings, I get up at 7, I leave about 7:15, 7:20, I'm pulling in about 8:10, and it's even worse. I'm trying not to fall asleep at the wheel, I'm smacking myself in the face, you know what I mean, trying to just turn the music up loud. I don't know what it is about Saturday mornings in this drive, but I have yet to get used to it. I don't know what.
Yeah, I guess I've kind of gotten used to it. For me, it's not really the drive here. The worst part is the drive back.
I'm the exact opposite.
The drive back is always longer, and that was the way it was, you know, when I'd come home from college, you know, about 3 hours, depending on where I was. The drive back, when I would drive home, it wouldn't be so bad, but driving back was brutal. But that's, and I know my dad's listening right now, and I know he's just sitting there knowing that listening to me talk about the commute. My dad's been commuting to his job in Huntsville for an hour every day for 20 years. He worked in the Arsenal for over 20 years, and he just got a new job at a new place, and now he drives about 5 minutes further every day. So he's been doing it. Been doing it for much longer than you and I, and for a longer drive. So a shout out to Dad listening at home for his he is the ultimate commuter.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine that happening forever. Kudos to Matt. He's a better man than me. I don't know if I could do that, but the drive home to me is the easiest part. I'm not sure why that is, because if you ever remember back in college. There's a couple times I drove out there to hang out with you guys at Auburn. The worst part about the drive, it was like it's a 4-hour drive from where I live to Auburn. The drive there is long, but it's not that bad because, you know, when you get there, you're going to get to have a great weekend. You hang out with your friends. We did the triple-double challenge, which is a lot of corn dogs, beer, and tater tots, and it's great. But the drive home is the worst part because, you know, you're going back home to work.
Yes,
you're going, and it's on a Sunday. You don't have much time left. It's the worst part. But for me, on the Saturday show, the drive home's the best part because I get the next couple days off. In this case, it's a 3-day weekend, so as soon as 11 o'clock ticks down, out of here until Tuesday. So,
yes,
you're a teacher. I'm assuming you get Monday off too.
We do. We're off Monday, but we're practicing Monday as well. Tennis coach. I mean, it's been so rainy. We hadn't had a chance to practice, but
probably
we'll be practicing
thing. I heard
on
you
Monday.
Were like, you said you were like a Nazi when it came to your first practice.
No, I'm just trying to.
So
I'm trying
like a college level practice with these kids.
Trying to. It's just.
That's good.
When I was in high school, you know, the tennis practices weren't oh so serious, and a lot of places around here do it that way. It's because nobody really has a tennis coach around here. Usually, right. They designate somebody if they're going to.
So are you
going to
be
trying to tighten the shift a little bit?
Tougher tennis coach than you were a basketball coach.
I had a lot of help with basketball. My assistant, I had a volunteer assistant, did a lot. He helped me a lot. I really hope he'll be a good coach. He's about our age, about a year younger than us. He'll be a really good coach one day, I think. But no, I don't need as much help with this. More my area of expertise.
Well, that's a bonus. And for those who don't know, I mean, explain to them that this is the first time you've announced that you're coaching tennis, at least the first time in a long time, so go ahead.
Well, it's the first time I've been the head coach of a team. I've done lessons and camps and things like that for several years now, but it's really enjoyable because, I mean, I played 4 years of college tennis, and that was some of the best years of my life. Loved being part of a team, and it's going to be different standing on the other side of the fence come match day, but it'll be good, and I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully we get our first match already got canceled. Hopefully, we get to play this this upcoming week. We got two varsity matches and a JV match scheduled this week. Hopefully, we get to play all three. But
so is it Boas High School that you're the coach of? Middle school?
High school.
Okay.
Because see, in spring sports, kids can play from when you're in seventh grade. You can play high school sports, and that's kind of how spring sports go.
Wow. Well, I don't think anybody was ever good enough in my high school or middle school to ever play at our high school, which is bad because our high school was never really good at much either.
We had a few, and there was a kid in my brother's grade at Gunnersville who played varsity baseball from the time he was in seventh grade. Started, I think, for 6 years at second base. Ended up going to Jacksonville. So it happens. You see it. It's not uncommon to see, that's for sure.
Well, again, nobody in my high school. It's not common. It's pretty common for you guys. And obviously, I've been here long enough to understand that. But growing up, you never saw anything like that in my high school. We were a little 2A, tiny little school in nowhere, Tennessee. And we had a decent basketball program and a pretty good band, which I was a part of the drumline. I'm unashamed to admit I was in band growing up in high school. But let's get out of all of that. Let's get into the segment that is really going to start to dominate the first segment of our show. It is the best recap in radio. What it is, it's the two-minute drill. We're going to bring you four of the more important stories throughout the week, put them into 2 minutes apiece. Aaron will get two, I will get two, and we will recap this entire week for you, and then we'll break it down a little further throughout the show. So without further ado, it is time for the best recap in radio, the two-minute drill.
Now, it's time for the best recap in radio, the two-minute drill. 2 minutes on the clock. Number four.
All right, kicking things off, for those of you who may have forgotten, the Olympics are in full swing. They are going on right now. This year's Winter Olympics are taking place in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Now, there was big news when it opened up that North and South Korea united under one flag when they came out at the opening ceremony. Some of you also may be wondering why you haven't seen any Olympics on television. Well, maybe that's because we're 15 hours behind Pyeongchang. You know, now it's 9 o'clock. You know, it's midnight there. Tomorrow morning. That's a long time. But an update on how we're doing in the United States. We sit at 8th overall on the medal count with 8 total. 5 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze. Norway, they lead the pack. They have 20. Germany is in 2nd with 15. The U.S. has had some bright spots, however. Some of you may be wondering, why aren't we in first? Why aren't we in first? We're always in first. We don't do as well in the Winter Olympics as we do in the Summer Olympics. We're kind of dominant in Summer Olympics. Winter Olympics, a little bit different. But our bright spots, Sean White, won an unprecedented 3rd gold medal in snowboarding. White captured gold with a 97.75 run on the halfpipe, narrowly defeating Japan's Ayumu Hirano, who posted a 95.25. But what may be even more impressive is U.S. female figure skater Mira Nagusu, who became the first U.S. woman and the 3rd woman overall to land the famous triple axel at an Olympic event, joining Japanese women Midori Ito in 1992 and Mao Asada, who did it twice in 2010 and 2014. Triple axel, one of the rarest feats in figure skating. It's a jump with 3.5 rotations and is the only one with a forward-facing takeoff. The level of difficulty is extreme. It's only been done by a female in competitive figure skating a total of 8 times. Nagusu actually had considered giving up skating back in 2014. Luckily, she didn't, because she went on to make history and help lead the U.S. to a bronze medal in that event.
Number 3.
NBA All-Star Weekend is here, and it got started last night with the Celebrity Game and the Rising Stars Challenge. In the Celebrity Game, the Lakers beat the Clippers 75-66, and Migos rapper Quavo led the way with 19 points, and he took home the MVP. The Rising Stars Challenge, which put the young guys in the NBA from around the world against the youngsters from the USA against each other, was fun for about a quarter and a half, when Bogdanovich and Team World began to wipe the floor with the Team USA. The final was 154-124. The interest in the game quickly disappeared when once again it seemed no effort was put up defensively. We have the potential to be saved tonight, however, where we will see the skills challenge, the three-point contest, and the dunk contest. But I wouldn't get your hopes up, though, since we've only had a couple of good ones spread throughout a lot of bad ones over the course of 10-15 years. It feels like this entire weekend is hanging on the intrigue of the new format in the All-Star Game on Sunday. This year, East and West don't mean anything other than just being directions. Instead, the highest-voted players, Steph and LeBron, became team captains and got to select their own teams. Team LeBron suffered 4 injuries but were replaced by other guys worthy of the All-Star title, so that shouldn't be too much of an issue. Let's be honest. We all hope this would be competitive because of the matchup potential when you take conference affiliation out of the equation. We did get LeBron versus Curry, but we all know who can physically dominate who in that matchup. No, we wanted LeBron, Kyrie, and we got like we got in Boston a week ago, and even LeBron versus KD. Instead, those guys ended up on the same team, Team LeBron. So now it feels like we will get more of the same in the sense that it will turn into an impromptu dunk contest with little to no defense.
number two.
I know we've talked about it before at links on this show, but the Auburn Tigers, the surprise team in college basketball this season, continue to turn heads. The Tigers are 22-3 this season and 11-2 in SEC play. They are two games ahead of the Tennessee Volunteers in the quest for the SEC regular season crown. The Tigers, who are currently ranked 10th in the AP poll, defeated the Kentucky Wildcats on Wednesday night by a score of 76-66. Auburn, who came in as a 9.5-point favorites over the Cats, actually covered the spread. What world are we living in? What world are we living in where Auburn is favored and covers the spread over Kentucky in basketball? The Tigers were a number 2 seed in the and the number 5 overall seed in the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee's opening top 16 seeds. Following the win over Kentucky, the Tigers are now projected a number 1 seed in ESPN's Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology after Purdue dropped their third straight game. Auburn is set to end its NCAA tournament drought of almost 15 years and get into the tournament for the first time since 2003. Now it seems that only a question of how high will they be seeded. Just how far can this Tigers team go? Analysts such as ESPN's Jay Billis think Auburn has Elite Eight talent. With the dynamic threesome of superb guards in Jared Harper, Mustafa Heron, and Bryce Brown, the Tigers are poised for such a run. Guard play, as you know, thrives in March Madness. However, it's the Tigers' undersized power forward, DeSean Murray, that will be the X factor. It's been said by several analysts that Murray is a guy that will win you games. He does all the little things right and makes those hustle plays. The Presbyterian transfer averaging 7 rebounds per game. Let's see if the Tigers can keep this number 1 seed momentum rolling. They face South Carolina today on the road at 2:30 on SEC Network.
And finally, number 1.
Earlier this fall, we were all shaken as the world of college basketball as we know it crumbled due to the corruption we all suspected was going on in the first place. The FBI actually submerged in an undercover operation where they barely scratched the surface to this entire thing, but what they found was already pretty eye-popping. Through wiretaps and undercover rat for the FBI, 10 arrests were made. Among those 10 arrests were Adidas executives James Gatto and Merle Cote, plus several assistant coaches, including Auburn's Chuck Person. Initially, what they discovered is that these Adidas executives were giving these assistant coaches money to give to top prospects' parents in order to sway them into choosing a school that is sponsored by Adidas, which would hopefully lead to contracts once they entered the NBA. The universities that were affected so far are Auburn, USC, Alabama, Oklahoma State, and a few others. Auburn specifically has already done damage control by suspending the two players in question and firing Chuck Person, the coach who paid the students. Which means their miracle run seems to be safe, barring head coach Bruce Pearl's involvement in the scandal. That may not be the case with a majority of the Blue Blood programs throughout the country, though. We've already seen icon Rick Pitino get burned by the scandal, but according to a report by ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh, a second report could fundamentally alter college basketball as we know it. An estimated half of the 16 teams that the NCAA showed in its original bracket reveal last weekend could be in trouble, and the Hall of Fame coaches should be sweating. It doesn't seem like mid-major programs will be affected, at least not like the Blue Bloods will, which is a literal situation where the rich are just getting richer. None of us should be surprised, but once a scandal that shook the college basketball world seems to be coming back to deliver the final blow, and just like the first time, we will be sitting here with our popcorn ready to scoff at the Blue Bloods that dare cheat while we sweat a little, hoping our favorite schools will be safe a little longer and make it through this mass exodus, shaking up one of our favorite sports. A lot, as I said, going on in the world of sports today. We'll get into that college basketball scandal, speculation of who it could be, who you would suspect, and why. I mean, well, that's the world we live in now. That is college basketball. We'll discuss all that. We'll definitely get into a conversation, Aaron, about Auburn basketball. We'll get your thoughts on the NBA All-Star, the NBA week, All-Star weekend event going on, the game, the three-point contest. If you paid attention to any of it last night. And, of course, we will talk about the Olympics in Pyeongchang. But first, we would like you guys to get in on the discussion as well. 866-485-9867. That's 866-485-9867. That's how you can call and have your voice heard by me, Aaron, and the rest of the Tennessee Valley here on The Ump. Or you can just tweet us at Tony Mac, UMP, TONYMACUMP. just like the radio station, or you can tweet at Aaron at A-Trip Tennis. That's A-T-R-I-P-T-E-N-N-I-S. Or you can just tweet at Tony Mac Triplett and find both of us in the bio. It's efficient. It's quicker. We'll give you guys time to do that. But while we're giving you time to do that before the break, we'll get to the final part of this opening segment, Aaron Triplett's Shirt of the Week. I love it. I love the circumstance in which you brought it up. Aaron, take it away.
Well, in honor of President's Day, of course, coming up on Monday, I've selected the George Washington Colonials. George Washington University is my team shirt of the week. You can check it out. It's got the little emblem with George Washington's head on it. And it's funny, me being such a history person, I really enjoy learning about George Washington. And you really think about past presidents, really. I mean, the ones two people, the ones you think about is Washington and Lincoln. But there's been a lot of great men to serve. But hard to beat those two guys right there. So a little shout out to the presidents right there, as it's George Washington University is my team shirt of the week.
Absolutely fantastic. Once again, 866-485-9867 is how you can get on here. At Tony Mac Triplett. Find mine and Aaron's individual Twitters in the bio. Tell us what you think. We had college basketball scandal. We had Auburn basketball, the NBA All-Star break, and the PyeongChang Olympics. Weigh in. Tell us what you think. We'll be back to discuss a little more right after the break, right here. Tony Mac and the Triplett, 730, 1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump, WUMP.
Welcome back. Tony Mack and the Triplett here, 730, 1039, The Ump. It is almost 9:30 on your Saturday morning. We'd love for you guys to join in on the conversation, 866-485-9867, at Tony Mack Triplett. You can get in. That's the show Twitter. You can find mine and Aaron's individual bios, or individual Twitters in the bio. Hit that follow button. We'd love for you to have follow us on Twitter. I'm a little stumbling over myself a little bit this Saturday morning, which I'm sure a lot of you guys are as well. A lot of people out celebrating Valentine's Day last night, since Valentine's Day was right in the middle of the week this week. Aaron, did you celebrate Valentine's Day with your wife yet? Me and Jen actually went out on Valentine's Day.
We didn't go out on Valentine's Day. We just exchanged some gifts. We've got something coming. We're going to go out we're going to go out next weekend, actually.
Okay.
And celebrate it when we've got a little more time. But no, we exchanged some gifts and just had a quiet night at the house on Wednesday. We both work, it's just nice to just sit at home and enjoy kind of each other's company. So that's what we did on Wednesday night.
First Valentine's Day as a married couple for you, because it's the first Valentine's Day as a married couple for me as well. And I got married just a few months after you did. Did it feel any different this year?
No, and that's probably because I don't really like Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
I'm one of these people that doesn't I think it's just an excuse to spend money, but my wife likes it. And so,
well, they end the discussion,
I do it to humor her a lot. It's funny because of course, Auburn was playing Kentucky on Wednesday night, and mm-hmm. I wanted to watch that. And she said, she's like, but it's Valentine's Day. And I'm like, your point?
Oh my God.
And she said, it's Valentine's Day. I don't want to watch that. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to do? She's like, I want to watch a movie. And I said, okay. And she wanted to watch some chick flick. I don't remember. And I was like, if I'm not going to watch the Auburn game, I'm at least going to, pick the movie or help pick the movie. I'm not going to watch I don't want to watch a chick flick. And she's like, but this day is for the woman.
It's just true.
And I'm like, but it takes two to make a relationship be celebrated on Valentine's Day. And so what ended up happening is we couldn't pick a movie. So we ended up just sitting there and watching some Netflix or Hulu or something. We still enjoyed our evening.
That's a bold move there. I wouldn't think that me or you have been married long enough to pull that off there. But it is, in my opinion, it is about your significant other on Valentine's Day, and it's about doing something that you don't normally get a chance to do. And I normally come home and sit down and just watch TV, so I didn't want to do that with Jen. So we went out, and we only went out for a couple hours, but we came back and we caught the second half of the Auburn-Kentucky game, which she was totally fine with. But this weekend, it frees up a little time this weekend, you know what I mean? I'm a little selfish in wanting to go out on actual Valentine's Day because I wanted a little more time this weekend, but not necessarily to myself. I wanted a little more time with her without the pressures of having to do things related to Valentine's Day. I feel like if that was the case, it would feel more scheduled. That way me and her have a little time to just go out and do what we want. It's not related to Valentine's Day. We got our Valentine's Day deal, which was actually a lot of fun. I had reservations somewhere, and we were going to go out and eat somewhere nice, and she flipped it on me right before my drive home. She told me to call her, and she said, "Hey, I have a plan. I hope it works. Call me." She wanted to go out, and she didn't want to go to all these overcrowded places and do this romantic thing because everybody else was doing it. She wanted to do something fun, which was we went to CC's, where we had the pizza buffet, which was wonderful. We still dressed up, and then we just went to a couple arcades, bounced around a couple arcades, and got a bunch of quarters and went and played video games all night. And it was a breath of fresh air. She kind of had the same idea I did. She didn't want to do the normal thing. She wanted to get out and do something different. So Valentine's Day was a lot of fun. When you and Jay get to actually do your thing next weekend, I hope you guys go out and have a great time. Maybe Auburn won't play anybody important next week.
I remember a couple Valentine's Days ago. I can't remember if I brought this up on the show or not. I don't think I have, but it was about 2 years ago, I believe. And it was coming off in 2015 when I came home for Valentine's Day from school. I took her to see the first 50 Shades of Grey because that's what she wanted to go see. And that was absolutely miserable.
Me and the wife did that too.
Absolutely miserable.
And I think that the very next year, me and my wife did the same thing you and your wife did.
Yeah, we went to see Deadpool. Absolutely. I was like, I'm going to pick a better movie this time. And I think I had brought this up on this show before now that we're having this conversation. But I'm one of those people that repeat stories over and over again. If you know anything about me, and my brother is listening, and I'm sure he's just shaking his head because I tell my stories over and over again. And now it's become to the point where I know that I'm about to tell a story for the second or third time. But, like, I just enjoy hearing it. Part of it is I enjoy hearing my stories, and then the other part is I just enjoy hearing myself talk probably a little bit too much.
Do you understand the way you've painted yourself in this segment? Let's recap really quick. Let's do an Aaron Triplett recap of how you've made yourself sound this segment. And just remember, as I paint this out, don't get mad at me. This is the hole you dug yourself.
I'm about to – it's let me see if I can guess. Let's see. It's a – someone who doesn't like Valentine's Day, who doesn't give in to do what his wife wants to do on Valentine's Day, a arrogant guy who likes to hear himself talk and likes to just repeat his stories for his own amusement. Is that about right?
That's pretty close. A guy who doesn't care what his wife wants to do. He's going to watch basketball instead.
Hey, I told her we had to compromise. I'll watch a movie with you, but we have to compromise on the movie.
Unromantic. And full of yourself. That's exactly how that came up. Yeah, I don't want to do anything romantic on Valentine's Day. I really don't like it. I'd rather sit down and tell a story I've told a million times because I like to hear myself talk. That's exactly how that sounded. You dug that hole yourself, and I just, you know, decided to add a little to it and make it sound even worse. But no, that's totally fine. That's actually a fun story because the wife and I did the same thing on Valentine's Day a couple years ago. We went and saw Deadpool, and I kept telling her it was going to be an R-rated superhero movie. It's vulgar, and she was okay with it, and she didn't like it as much as I was hoping she would, and I didn't expect her to, but she did like it, which was good. She doesn't like the fact that I have it on DVD and watched it like 11, 12 times. But
My wife enjoyed, and you know her,
Didn't expect her to like
it. She's one of those. Like you just have to know her. You didn't expect her to like it. She thoroughly enjoyed it. She laughed several times.
It's a fantastic movie.
You know, really hard at some points of the movie, and she actually came out of the theater and said she really liked it. She thought it was really funny.
During the break, I'll have to show you the teaser trailer for number two because it came out a week or so ago. You have to check that out. Let's get back into, if you guys want to tell us how you spent your Valentine's Day or what you're going to do with your Valentine's Day, we would love to hear it. At Tony Mac Triplett, get at us on Twitter. You can find our individual Twitters in our bio. Click the follow button, and you can call us and tell us, 866-485-9867. Kenny Trill, I know you're out there. I know you were on the show right before we ended yesterday on the Tom Abraham Show. You said you and the wife were going out and doing the Valentine's Day last night. Hit me up, man. Tell me how it went. Tell me what the love was like in Trillville. We're excited to hear about that. Aaron, let's jump into one of the stories that you brought up in our two-minute drill. Let's get to the Olympics. It's not really something that – it's something that everybody wants to hype up like they're going to watch. And then when it gets here, you realize that you don't watch as much of it as you promised you were going to, myself included, because – let's just be 100% honest here, especially more so in the Winter Games. It's just not that interesting.
No, the Winter Games are not near as interesting to me personally as the Summer Games. And it's not that's not even just because the United States is better at them. There's just more sports at the Winter Olympics that I find more interesting than the Winter ones.
Summer Olympics than the Winter ones. You said Winter twice.
Yeah, well, yes. More at the Summer than the Winter that I just find enjoyable. Like I really like water polo. I thoroughly enjoy watching water polo. That's one of the one, but there's not much in the Winter that I can really get into other than hockey, and that's a little bit. I mean, that's I really enjoy. I mean, I got really into hockey last year during the NHL, and of course, I mean, you had the Miracle Game on ice. And speaking of that, the Russians actually beat the United States 4-0. Was it yesterday that they took out?
Yeah, I think it was either that or the day before.
But anyway, other than that, I don't really snowboarding. Maybe. However, the information that I did find when I heard that the triple axel had been performed for the first time in the Olympics by an American woman was actually really interesting.
Yeah, it was cool to hear. I didn't watch it. I never went back and looked at the video.
I didn't either. But
it's cool to hear. I'm with you though. Like the X game type sports, that's what I want to see. Like the Winter X Games type sports, like the half pipe and stuff like that. Even the Super G's kind of fun, where they're going down the hill and they have to hit all those boundaries and stuff. But other than that, like the actual actual sporting events, maybe not necessarily the contests, you know, not the ones you're getting judged on, but the ones that you have to have a specific time where you're actually trying to beat someone. The half pipe's a little different. I know you get judged, you get scored on by that, but I mean, like, but you can. That's fun to watch. Those tricks are cool to see. I can't tell what a half 360 McTwist is, or whatever, you know, or a 900s of a few circles in the air. I can't commentate on something like that, but I can tell when somebody spins eight times in a row in the air and then lands it. That's pretty cool and pretty fun. If someone does that on the ice, maybe not so much.
And the big thing about what happened in the snowboarding was Shaun White, which is basically the biggest name in the U.S. Olympics right now. Or was going in, you know, he's the reason people know when you hear snowboarding, you think Shaun White, and he needed a big run in his last run. There was a lot of drama with that, with his last run when he ended up taking home that gold medal. So it was kind of came at a good time for the U.S. for those of us who were watching the Olympics. You know, he got that big gold medal run in clutch moments. So that was big, yeah. And that was big. And you know, three gold medals in the Winter Olympics is unprecedented. So big shout out to him. You know, obviously the biggest name that we've got over there right now, more than likely.
Have you heard about his whole deal going on ever since he won that gold? People are chastising him because of a sexual assault lawsuit or something along those lines that he had a few years ago with someone. He came out and won an Olympic gold, and everybody's saying, or a lot of people now are saying, why aren't we bringing up his lawsuit about being sued and everything else? Number one, because it was settled. That's why. I mean, and number two, if you look into the whole thing, I mean, maybe you would feel a little differently about it. He was accused of, I can't remember, I don't think it was sexual assault. I think it was harassment. I don't think he ever actually touched her or did anything like that. He like smacked her on the butt and stuff like that. But he was in his early 20s. And it was a girl that I think he like managed their band or something like that. And he was like telling her to change her image and things like that. And she didn't like that. She didn't like a lot of the changes he was trying to make. And she turned it into something even bigger. And they settled that lawsuit. Hey, whether he did something right or wrong, it was settled. It's over with. So the fact that we're just bringing that up now is a little bit absurd. Let's just enjoy the fact that he won, an imperfect man, nobody's perfect, won an Olympic gold. And it was an exciting event. Like you said, it came in a really clutch moment, where it's not just, you know, Shaun White going up there and putting up a big score like he did in the qualifier. He put up like a 95 in the qualifier, something like that. It was crazy, or 98. But then it was the last run period for anybody, and he was the last guy to go, and he needed, what, like a 95.5 to win? And he pulled it out, and it was phenomenal. Of course, it was phenomenal to hear about first because I didn't get to watch it live. I went back and saw it afterwards, and you could just tell that that's the kind of environment I love to see, and this one happened to be in the Olympics. I don't think that type of environment happens often in the Olympics. That's another reason that I'm not big on watching the Olympic Games, but he showed an incredible amount of heart afterwards, and that was a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun to see Shaun White get really excited. But that's another one of those things where it's kind of like an X Game event that you see happen, and that's why it's fun. But a lot of these other events, the figure skating, not really into. The curling was a joke. Everybody got into curling. Let's be honest. Everybody got into curling in the 2014 games as a joke because it was just, it was goofy. It came off as this goofy thing, and people are starting to get into it now and enjoy it more. But it started out, and people started out getting into curling as a joke. Let's not pretend that that's something other than what it actually is. I mean, curling was a laughable sport that everybody just turned into enjoying because it's goofy and quirky, and we think it's funny to look at. Now, a sport that's actually laughable and should disappear is the two-man luge. Are you familiar with the two-man luge?
It's not the bobsledding, is it? It's
no, like the two-man luge is where two dudes lay on top of each other and go down a hill.
No, I don't think I've actually heard
why
about...
Why does that exist?
It's just, like, there's a lot of... You see in these Olympics all these odd sports, like, just these random things where they're like, that's a sport?
Like who comes up with that? Let's say me, you, and the guys are out there, one of our big snow days, and we're snowing, and we're sledding down a hill, and let's say you go down the hill, and I go down the hill faster than you, and you don't like that, so you go back up to the hill, and you say, oh, yeah, you can go down faster than me, but, hey, Kevin, sit in my lap, bro. Let's see if you can go faster with a dude in your lap. I mean, who does that? It's disturbing. It's funny. Exactly. It's a joke. I couldn't imagine number one, it's insulting to be asked to be the dude on top. By the way, let's be honest. Hey, bro, you want to come sit on top of me, bro? Let's go down a hill, dude. You can lay on top of me. That's gross. It's weird. I don't mean to make it sound, you know, like I'm being that way, but it's just weird to come up with that.
It's odd. It is odd. And I think they had a two-man person wreck in luge the other day with somebody.
Knows? I wonder if they got the first man out of the second man.
Busted. I don't remember what happened, but I heard there was some kind of wreckage.
I did see a wreck, but it was a one person thing, and they wrecked
person.
going really really fast. So that was really scary to see. But so far the story, I'm surprised you stretched. Hey, congratulations to you, by the way, stretching that Olympic thing into 2 whole minutes. I know that was a task because I would have, you know, 5 seconds, one sentence would have been my Olympic update. Norway is kicking our ass. That seems to be the story of the Olympics. I mean, U.S. is sitting down there with 9 total medals. Norway is leading the way with 21. So, I mean, they were the favorite coming in, though, I think. So, it's really no surprise.
Well, they're a Scandinavian country that thrives in the Winter Olympics. It's just how it is.
Is this how it feels when the U.S. dominates everybody at everything else, or most everything else? Because I feel helpless.
I don't know. I'm just kind of used. This is just, you know, we're not a Winter Olympic country. We excel in a few things, not at the Winter Olympics, not like the summer. But it's usually primarily the same countries are up at the top in the Summer Olympics, at least. Other than the U.S., it's usually China is always up there in the Summer Olympics. The U.K., Germany.
Well, you're talking about countries that usually thrive in the Winter Olympics. Have you heard the thing going on with Russia? How crazy this thing's getting with
the
them?
Doping, and then you have they're not representing Russia. They're just Olympic athletes from Russia.
And then on top of that, talk about having your cake and eating it too. On top of that, Russia is wanting to start their own Olympics for people who weren't allowed to go to this one. So, I mean, are you kidding me? So the people that did get to come to this one from Russia, not being represented by Russia, but are athletes from Russia, they can win medals and bring them home. And then on top of that, we're going to have this alternate Olympics, which I doubt ever gets off the ground. We're going to have this alternate Olympics where mainly Russians are going to compete and win more medals. It's stupid.
That's like Group of Five schools threatening to create their own playoff. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's being scorned. It's being a child. And that kind of sums up what it feels like Vladimir Putin does often. So I don't mean to get political or anything, but it just sounds like they're being a bunch of babies. And if you've ever read into the story of when they actually, how they actually got in trouble for doping in the Sochi Olympics, it's pretty crazy. They had like a building next door to the to the facility where people were drug tested and stuff, and they were like drilling holes into the wall after hours and like taking the samples and replacing them with clean samples. Like this is like some weird TV spy level stuff you see. It's been insane. We've had that, number one, and then now we've got the FBI scandal with college basketball where they actually sent somebody undercover to flesh this whole thing out. It's pretty crazy that we're actually seeing things like this happen. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll set up the next hour of Tony Mack and the Triplet. We'll get into some more. We'll get into the NBA All-Star break. We still got Auburn basketball coming up, and we have some Alabama basketball, too. We got to show them love. They're going to Rupp Arena today. And we even have some more talk about this scandal. That's all coming up after the break right here. Tony Mack and the Triplet, 730, 1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio, 730, 1039. The Ump.
Welcome back. Tony Mack and the Triplet here, 730, 1039, The Ump. Almost getting close to the top of the hour, top of the 10 o'clock hour here on your Saturday morning. Aaron Triplett and I here discussing this college basketball scandal. Now, Aaron, in the fall, when all of this kind of broke and we had the Adidas execs get arrested and some of these assistant coaches like Auburn's Chuck Persons, Alabama had a guy get in trouble, USC and Oklahoma State, it felt like that was the tip of the iceberg. It felt like because it was Auburn and Alabama and Oklahoma State, it didn't feel like it was the teams we suspected to be involved in things like this. Didn't you expect like it eventually to just crack wide open and the blue bloods like Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina? Didn't you expect all of them to eventually just come out? Now, the floodgates open and those guys, you know, get attacked by it.
Absolutely. And it's just because, you know, the teams are so good year in and year out with these one and dones. You know, that there has to be some sort of, with as much corruption as was entailed when the initial release happened, you had to think it was deeper than that with more programs. And now that they're threatening, you know, half the teams are released in the original 16 plus as many, I've heard as many as half of the teams in the entire country, that's over 100 schools, you know, could potentially be involved in this sort of thing. It's kind of mind-boggling, and really, when they say more, about half, you know, your school's probably involved in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and it's getting to the point where I'm not really curious as to who it's going to be. We pretty much can all guess after that report, Mark Schlabaugh's report came out saying that all these guys are going to be in trouble, Hall of Fame coaches should be worried. You can pretty much put two and two together. Now I'm just curious as to how much money was involved and how long they've been doing it. That's what I can't wait to figure out. I really expected to know already of these guys because it kind of felt like that first probe back in September was a promise that, hey, here soon, you're about to have a lot more come out, and we haven't heard anything yet. So when does this thing finally break open? Because I'm excited to read about it. I'm also a little nervous, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a weird situation because here's the way I think about it. If the NCAA or the FBI is going to, especially the NCAA, if they're going to let this happen to all these major schools involved, what is that, and depending on and the severity and the penalty, what is that going to do to all these schools? What is that going to do to the NCAA tournament? What's that going to do to college basketball? What it's going to do is it's going to ruin college basketball. It's going to ruin the ratings they get. It's going to ruin the big schools. It's going to ruin, I mean, the banned teams from the NCAA tournament. It's going to ruin the NCAA tournament. It's going to ruin basketball, and I don't think that the NCAA and ESPN, for that matter, can afford that to happen to all these big schools. It almost comes down to this. If you can't just punish a select few. You've got to come out and you've got to attack them all. Of course, according to the severity of what went on at that particular university, you either do that to all the schools that are involved, which is in the hundreds possibly at this point, or what I think is a simpler solution is you got to change the rules. And I don't agree with those who come out and say that we ought to pay the players. I don't think that's right. I don't think you should pay the players I think maybe you should have, maybe there's some compensation for, because a lot of these kids, a lot of these athletes come to these schools with nothing. They come from poverty and they don't have much. And so that's understandable, but these big blank checks you're giving parents, that ain't right. I think you have to change the rules and allow kids, especially in college basketball, because of the degree of, to the degree that this happens is more so than it does in college football, for example. And now, I think they have to change the rule back to where you can go to the NBA and declare for the draft right out of high school.
Okay, so what happens to the guys who don't go to the NBA out of high school? Do they have to stay in college for 3 years?
I think that you should have to stay in college for 3 years.
So
you have a decision to make there, and I think that would cut down on this pay-for-play thing that's going on because the kids are going to go to the NBA. The kids are always going to jump at the chance to go to the NBA. Yeah. They just go to school for 1 year because they have to.
It's important to note that the reason that they should, if they elect to go to school, they have to stay for 3 years, is because if you allow them to go to the NBA right out of high school, they'll get paid by the NBA or whatever, but there'll still be some where they could potentially go to school for a year and still get paid. Hey, come here. You'll get money to come here. Get a little bit of an education, and we'll steer you in the right direction instead of going into this thing blindly. So I think that's absolutely correct. If you change that rule, you have to change it to those that come to school have to stay for 3 years.
Yeah, you have to. I think they should change it to where, like I said, once you can go pro right out of high school, and if you come to school, you have to stay for 3 years. I think Dick Vitale has proposed that same thing, because the answer is not paying the players, because that's not going to solve anything. I just think that's the way to go, and I think that's what's ultimately going to happen. I really do.
Well,
how long it takes to get there is yet to be seen.
Even if they do all that, I mean, they're still going to have to punish the schools that are in trouble. I mean, this can't happen to the degree it's happening at, and it has for too long.
Nothing done.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to do it for the first hour. When we come back, open lines again, 866-485-9867. Be heard right here. Tony Mack and the Triplet, 730, 103.9 The Ump. Stay tuned, everybody.
It's Tony Mack and the Triplet with your hosts Antonio McBeth and Aaron Triplet, specializing in the world of sports.
I think they're the best team in the country.
Covering your favorite teams.
Alabama wins! Touchdown over!
And talking about whatever the hell they want.
Because he's a good coach. The good talent wants to play for him.
Absolutely not. This is ridiculous.
Now, here they are, Tony Mack and the Triplet.
Welcome back. Tony Mack and the Triplet here, 730, 103.9 The Ump. It is 10 o'clock on a beautiful Saturday morning. Well, I say beautiful because it is Saturday. It is the weekend, but I guess aesthetically speaking, it's pretty gross outside. It's a little rainy. It might be a little chilly depending on where you are. But it's Saturday. Let's enjoy the fact that the majority of us have today, tomorrow, and Monday. Once 11 o'clock hits, guys, I am gone. I'm going to enjoy the best of my weekend, the most that I can out of this thing. But Aaron, let's jump back into this college basketball thing real quick, this scandal we were discussing, because you bring up some interesting points. I mean, we want to see these guys get punished. They can't get away with not being punished. I mean, the rule change, if they were to change the rules that kids could choose to leave for the NBA directly out of high school instead of going to college, but those that go to college would have to go for 3 years, that can't be the only thing that comes out of this. I mean, you're still going to have to punish these universities, I think, but at the same time, I guess the NCAA has to watch out how, because ESPN is going to take a big hit from this, and they're going to... The ratings are going to drop if a lot of these teams don't get to make the tournament this year or next year, whenever
CBS,
this happens.
CBS will, too.
CBS, exactly. So they're going to do their best to make sure that that's not what the punishment is. So what realistically can we do to these guys? I mean, we've given them all the power.
Honestly, I don't know. It's just a tight spot for everybody. Everybody involved is just a difficult situation. It's different than it being one or two or even 10 schools. It's different. But when you got half of the country potentially being involved, and a lot of it being these blue blood programs that ESPN and CBS and the NCAA thrive off of, as well as the conferences that these teams belong to, it's tough. there has to be some sort of ramifications for it, but to what degree? To what degree do you do that? Do you honestly have I don't have a good answer because it's a lose-lose for everybody. Depending on what happens, if you obviously can't, there has to be some sort of ramifications.
Exactly. But I mean, you've got to punish them.
If the punishment fits the crime, then the schools are going to suffer, and when the schools suffer, the conference is going to suffer, the NCAA is going to suffer, the television networks are going to suffer.
The product of basketball suffer. I get it, but at the same time, I mean, that's the conflict in us. We want our entertainment. We want to be greedy in the sense that we want to find a way where we can get the best of both worlds. The schools get punished, but we also get the quality of play that we want to see. But at the same time, I know very well that inside of you, the right part of you is saying, well, the right thing needs to be done here. And the right thing that should be done is to punish them as harshly as the crime fits and or the crime calls for. And that would be, you know, expelling them from the NCAA tournament for a year. I don't know how they're going to do, and that would be the weirdest NCAA tournament ever. But to be honest with you, I'm in favor of it. I mean, for one year,
I could go with 1 year. But this has been going on for so long. You figured it would be more.
There's no. I don't think they'll.
I don't think they can even. They won't even think about doing that.
So is that the compromise? 1 year, that'd be good. And it can't. I don't think it can be this year because I don't think they're going to have all the stuff ready for it to come out.
And I think it's going to take at least a couple years to hash out everything and get all the final details. And even then, I don't like that because they're going to punish. They're going to keep schools out of the NCAA tournament, and it's going to be potentially coaches and potentially players that had nothing to do with it originally. So, and they're going to suffer for it.
Yeah. So, let's see. If you're one of the schools or the coaches that knows you're getting busted, like if you have an idea, well, I'm pretty sure that they found me. If they're talking about Hall of Fame coaches, and you know, I may not be a Hall of Fame coach, but they probably know that I did something. So if you think that it's going to take a couple of years, what's going to stop you from going all out? Yeah, hey, we're going to get arrested in a couple of years anyway. You might as well give me the money. I'll give it to this kid, and we'll go out with one last hurrah. They'll take this ring away from us, but at least we'll get that glory for a little bit. I mean, what's going to stop them from doing that? I'm sure there are people out there that are going to do that.
I'm sure that there are some that think that way. I'm sure some are going to try to keep their noses as clean as possible. I'm sure there's some that's going to deny everything that's out there. It's just this investigation and these kind of investigations take so long to hash around those little details like that. And the timetable is unknown, as well as, you know, they're still uncovering new teams that might be involved in this in some way.
I just want a little taste. I don't want the whole thing yet, but I want them to just drop another school. Like, they should do that every so often, just drop a school that's in trouble. You know, kind of like a teaser, maybe not tell who's in trouble, what players are involved or what coaches, but just drop a school out there. Like, the FBI, NCAA basketball FBI probe should have its own Twitter, and they, you know, kind of like how recruits do in football season. They'll drop a picture or a video of the schools that they're considering. The FBI should do that, and they should just have like this montage of a couple schools' helmets, jerseys flash up, and you know, coming soon. You know, they're in trouble. That would be fantastic to me. I'd be all in on that because that's all I want at this point. I mean, I can kind of guess who's all going to be involved in this thing, but I just want to know a little taste. Just give me a little taste. We're going to get more into this here in just a second, but we're going to go to the phones really quick. You are on live on Tony Mack and the Triplet on Ump Sports 730-1039 The Ump. Good morning. How's it going?
Doing great. How's it going, man?
Kenny freaking Trill on the line. Now, you teased us yesterday saying you were taking the wife out. I mean, you're at work today, so I'm curious to see how last night went. You said,
man,
yesterday.
I'm tired, Tony Mack.
Oh, yeah. Did you take her to Trillville?
Went to Trillville. We stayed a while last night, so yeah, a little tired this morning.
Kenny Trill, you excited about the Auburn game this afternoon? Are you going to be off in time to catch the Auburn game?
Man, I'll be off when y'all get off. I have to get off around 11, so oh yeah, we'll
11
to go for the Auburn game.
Clock. As an Auburn fan, are you going to be all in on that Alabama Kentucky game later this afternoon as well?
I'll keep a check on it. I ain't never all in on an Alabama game, but I'll keep a check on it.
Well, okay, so who do you pull for in that situation? I mean, you want Alabama?
Kentucky.
You want Kentucky to win and get in the tournament and everything else. So I kind of figured that was the case, but I don't know. I don't know how all SEC fans feel about Kentucky and basketball. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a little different with me. I got a bunch of family in Kentucky, and we're real close. So
okay.
I can't hate Kentucky. But I do hate Alabama, so but I can't hate Kentucky.
Absolutely. I can understand that. I grew up, my dad is a Kentucky basketball fan. I'm not a Kentucky basketball fan, but I appreciate the program. I'll pull for him every now and then.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him do well. But Kenny Trill, have a good rest of the day at work, man. We appreciate your call, and thanks for giving us your little Valentine's, an inside scoop on your Valentine's Day.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Take it easy. Kenny freaking Trill, one of my favorite guests. He's just a cool dude. They call him Kenny Trill. He's the original Trill from Trillville, and it's quite a treat. But, Aaron, let's get back into this NCAA investigation really quick. And my favorite part about this, the best part of this whole thing, the best story that came out of this was the, I can't remember his name, but the AAU guy that got in trouble. I was telling you about this earlier. Let me pull it up, see if I can find his name again. But it was easily the best part for me. One of the AAU guy that got in trouble for this whole situation, Jonathan Brad Augustine is his name. The charges got dropped. All his federal charges dropped. You want to know why? It's because all the money that Adidas gave him to give to other students to pull them into whatever school or send them to a certain school that's going to get them signed with Adidas in the future, instead of taking all that money and giving it to the students and the parents, he kept it for himself. I mean, and I don't know that that's a federal issue. I mean, that's pretty much free money. I mean, how that man's a genius. Let's just be 100% honest. I don't know that I'd do the same thing in the situation. I'd probably just walk away altogether and say no thank you. But this guy is a freaking genius. Let's be 100% clear about that, because what he did is he understood this guy is trying to do something that is going to get all of us in trouble. It is illegal. We can't be doing this. This is an NCAA violation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this money and pocket it, because what's he going to be able to do? He can't legally come after me. What's he going to say? I gave him this money to do illegal things in college basketball, and instead he kept it for himself. That guy just handed you free money. This guy understood that, pocketed it, and walked away from the whole thing. I mean, he did get roped into the investigation, the probe, but the charges were dropped because he never gave the recruits the money. He just kept it for himself. Now, I know I wouldn't do that in the situation. I'd just walk away and not take the money, period, and I'm pretty sure you would do that too, but can you not at least admit that this was pretty awesome?
I mean, if I was in that situation, I guess I don't necessarily blame him for what he did, but this is just, it's just a mind-boggling situation, just the whole severity of it.
I don't know this guy. I don't know who he is. I don't know if he saw an opportunity and was greedy and wanted to get rich, or if part of him wanted to teach this guy a lesson that was giving him the money. But I just like to think that he was trying to teach this guy a lesson, because that's pretty awesome. I think it's fantastic. I mean, you can call it cheesy, sleazy, or whatever. I wouldn't do it, but I mean, it's wonderful. He took the money, and instead of giving it to kids, he was like, yeah, you know what? I'll give it to whoever you want me to. I'm going to go buy a new car. I thought that was pretty cool. But let's transition out of the investigation here. We really don't know much else other than it's supposed to be big. It's supposed to be a bombshell. It's supposed to be the biggest basketball thing that basketball's ever given us. It's going to be insane. It's going to be ridiculous. That's all we know. It's just a bunch of hype. And I think it's going to live up to that whenever it comes out. But we just don't know anything else right now. So let's transition into something we do know. And that is, Auburn basketball is scorching everybody else in the SEC. They did have that blip about a week or so ago against Texas A&M. Actually, to be 100% honest, I do a Tony Mac Minute every day, and one of mine leading up to that game was, I felt like I said Auburn's going to drop that game. I think everybody had a sense that if Auburn was going to drop one, it was going to be that game against A&M. A&M was a sneaky team. They weren't ranked anymore, but they were all of a sudden completely healthy again. They had guys finally off suspension.
And they started playing well.
They had started playing much better.
Yeah, I mean,
they got all their guys back.
Yeah, they had a bunch of guys suspended, sick, and hurt. And it was a perfect storm that came together against Auburn. And Auburn, of course, has had two of their best players suspended all year long. But also, Bryce Brown was hurt the entire second half of that game.
Yeah, didn't play.
And Auburn still should have won that ball game. had a great opportunity to do so. And if it wasn't for Okiki having a size 13 instead of 12.5, if Okiki has half a shoe size smaller, that gets called a charge down low. And Auburn goes down, and they're at least forcing overtime to win that game. So it really wasn't anything they did. He was set in perfect position. He had a lot of time. He could have stepped up a little farther into the lane and taken the charge. But it was a great defensive play, executed really well. He just had a heel on the line, and that got Auburn in trouble. That's what killed Auburn. It wasn't really – they made a lot of mistakes in that game. They were down a lot of points in that game.
17 towards the beginning of the second half.
Yeah, they came back and took a lead. Yeah.
Took a lead.
They still should have. They still had themselves in perfect position to probably win that game, and that was just an unfortunate mistake that happened late in that ballgame. This is not a fluke of a team. They're a very small team that just went in and hosted Kentucky, the fourth tallest team in the nation. Now, what happened in this game against Kentucky is it's a couple things. Number one, something that Kentucky did poorly that was unforced by Auburn was shoot the three bad. That's something Kentucky's known for all year long. They're not a good three-point shooting team. But something else that Auburn did really well was force turnovers. They forced 14 turnovers on Kentucky. And something else they did really well was adjust. Late in the game, Kentucky came back and took a lead. About 6 minutes left or so, something like that. And Auburn was getting scorched. They were getting beat to the rim. They couldn't stop anybody in the paint. So instead of playing man, they switched back to a zone, and it worked tremendously. Even the broadcast team was praising how hard it is to it's harder to strip someone and come away with a clean strip that's going up to the basket than it is to actually go up and block a shot, because you can get called for a foul easier. Auburn was doing everything perfectly. They were contesting shots in the paint after they switched back to the zone. They were stripping guys. They were double teaming perfectly, and that was leading exactly to where Auburn thrives. And that's fast break. Auburn is a basketball team that thrives on running, getting you out of position. That's how they're so successful. They're small, so they're not going to be able to beat you every time in a set offense. They're going to beat you down the floor because they're faster than you, and they're in better shape than you, and they shoot really well. So, and they're a great free throw shooting team. So Auburn adjusted really well in that Kentucky game. And now, down the stretch, it seems like they're going to pull away and win this thing. I haven't looked at Tennessee's schedule, but Tennessee is currently sitting second in the SEC, and they go to Georgia. They still have Florida, and they have to go to Ole Miss, to Mississippi State, a couple trap games. They could get beat by Florida. Florida's more miserable than people want to give them credit for, but Florida, to their standards, is pretty bad. But at Mississippi, at Ole Miss could be a trap game there. So Tennessee could drop a couple more. I don't know that Auburn has many more trap games left, Aaron. I you might know their schedule a little more than me. I'd have to pull it up. But
Alabama at home
Wednesday.
Here.
But that's not a trap game. That's going to be an all-out slugfest.
I hope they're going to want to get some revenge because they dropped on the road at Alabama earlier.
You know, the Foy Trophy is being presented that day too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be primetime. If Alabama wins this game against Kentucky, guarantee you they get ranked in time for this showdown.
Wow, could you imagine Auburn and Alabama ranked in basketball together in a game?
Guarantee you.
Unbelievable.
Looking at this schedule, Auburn does have it a little tougher than I thought.
They go to South Carolina today. They get Alabama at home. But then they go to Florida and to Arkansas, yep. Which is I'm actually more scared about Arkansas on the road than I am about Florida with the way that Florida's been trending. But and then, of course, they finish up with South Carolina. So they could very easily win out and end up 27-3. Or 28-3, I think.
The most important thing to understand when you're playing Florida is just don't go in there.
My math's right.
Just don't go in there expecting. Yeah. Just don't go in there expecting to get the laydown Florida team. Even though Florida's struggled really bad, they're still a talented team.
They can.
So they got to go in there expecting the top five ranked Gators at the beginning.
And they're
going
to get everybody's best shot. That's for sure. Because now that they've become the hunted in the SEC, because they're the class of the SEC right now.
How weird does that feel as an Auburn fan?
It is. Me and our buddy Tyler talked about it the other day after they lost to Texas A&M. We were upset for about a minute, and then we were like, I can't even be mad. Like we're just soaking it all up this year. It's been an anomaly because we've grown up in an era of Auburn basketball that has been so bad. Like they haven't been in the SEC or they haven't been in the NCAA tournament since 2003. You know, I was 9 years old the last time Auburn made the NCAA tournament.
Wow,
I was 9 years old. And
so do you think that it continues to be an anomaly after this year? This tends to still be the anomaly, or do you think that this is something that Auburn builds on that.
I knew that when Bruce Pearl was hired that we were going to turn it around, and I knew that it would take some time because you had to resurrect a program that was literally from the ashes, build it from nothing. And it's just trusting the process. And this team is actually a whole lot better than I ever could have imagined. And, I mean, it's a top-10 team. They've played like a top-10 team, especially after that loss. From that loss to Temple, they've played like a top-10 team, only lost two games since then. I'm just excited to see what they're going to do at the NCAA tournament. And it's amazing that they're even being considered – as a one seed right now. Like, it's laughable. Like, we're just laughing over the fact Auburn might be a one seed.
The best part about it is it doesn't feel like they're pretenders. They really do feel like the real deal, because we've seen them win against quality opponent like Kentucky, and they win in different ways. They can win in the ways that aren't comfortable for them, if that makes any sense. The ways they're not used to winning. The ideal way for Auburn to win is to go out there and run faster than you and beat you in transition all the time. That's not always realistic, and there's going to be situations where that's not possible, like Kentucky. It wasn't possible for them to do that at some points in that game, and they forced their way out of that. They were still successful in other ways, like beating Kentucky's zone, hitting some crazy clutch threes, but they forced Kentucky back into the way they wanted to play. I mean, they're able to do this however they want to, it seems like, and it's a miracle run. Any way you can imagine Auburn winning a basketball game, they've done it.
They have, and I don't think they're going to ultimately end up being a one seed. I do think they're going to end up being a two. I think that if Purdue or Michigan State, whichever one of those two teams, wins the Big Ten tournament or wins the Big Ten regular season, will end up as the other one seed. And Auburn will end up probably the fifth overall and the first number one, number two seed. That's how I think it's going to end up.
So my question to you is, since they're going to end up a one, if they end up like a 1-4, they're going to end up in Nashville first round. They're going to end up over there. And then if they make the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, I think that's in Atlanta. I don't know if they'll end up over there, but they might. So my question to you guys, you and Kevin and Tyler and Jordan, is, are we going? I mean, are we going to go watch them play in Nashville in the tournament?
We plan on
getting together that weekend anyway.
We actually said, me and Tyler, we were saying, you know, if they, like, are we going to, like, should we go if they're around? And we thought about it for a second. He was like, I don't know. And then I said, well, I've been waiting too long to sit at home and watch Auburn in March Madness on TV. That I'm going to sit at home and I'm going to enjoy it for what it is, and hopefully they'll be back if Bruce is still the head coach, and hopefully everything gets cleared and everything's good with everything going on. Hopefully they'll be back, but it's just been a ride. It's just been fun. I've just been sitting back and enjoying it.
So you can't watch them on a Thursday or Friday on TV, and then Saturday or Sunday go out to Nashville and check them out.
I don't know. I don't know. I've been. I've said this on the show before that I'm much more of a sit at home and watch it kind of guy anyway.
It's a once in a lifetime deal, though. It's a little different.
It is. Maybe they'll be back. But I don't know. It's just, if they play close, I might have to consider it.
They're like almost 100% going to Nashville.
Even if they end up a two, I'm not sure.
I've heard as much as if they end up 1-4, they're going to end up in Nashville. I mean, it's because of the whole pod system. I mean, it accommodates the higher seeds. They get the closer games. So Auburn's going to probably end up in Nashville. If they end up in Nashville, I might skip the triple-double challenge and go watch, just so you guys know, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So, but that's definitely something to keep an eye out. Everybody, keep an eye out for that. I mean, Auburn's probably, you Auburn fans, probably going to end up in Nashville for the tournament, and you get a chance to go see them in Nashville play in the NCAA tournament this year instead of the SEC tournament, because this year, of course, it is in St. Louis. So, you know, you just wait a week. Take off a Thursday or Friday if you want to and go watch, or because I'm pretty sure you have to buy like a ticket for the whole session, go Saturday or Sunday and watch Auburn in the round of 32 and watch them force their way into a Sweet 16. It'll be a pretty sweet deal and worth it, I'm sure. But we'll talk about more of that after the break. We got to take a quick one here. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit of the NBA All-Star game, or the NBA All-Star Weekend as well. That's coming up next. Tony Mack and the Triplet, 730, 103.9, The Ump. Welcome back. Tony Mack in the Triplet here, 730-1039 The Ump. Aaron and I, maybe you guys can help us settle this discussion. During the break, we were looking at Alabama's schedule going forward and seeing their chances in getting into the tournament. And Aaron, how brutal, number one, how absolutely brutal is Alabama's schedule the rest of the way?
It's tough. I mean, they go on the road to Kentucky today. On Wednesday, they go on the road to Auburn. Then they get Arkansas and Florida at home, two teams that are not pushovers at all. And then you go to Texas A&M, who's playing almost as good a basketball as any in the SEC right now. I mean, their record in conference is like 6-7, but they're finally healthy. They beat Auburn. I would not want to play. I just got done telling you, I would not want to play Texas A&M right now.
So going, and me either, absolutely not. Going into the, I'm going to go ahead and make a bold statement here. Oh, well, a statement Alabama fans may not like, but going into the SEC tournament, looking at Alabama's schedule the rest of the way, going into the first game of the SEC tournament, I'm going to say Alabama is not in the NCAA tournament. They're going to have to do things in the SEC tournament in order to put them in. But going into the first round of the SEC tournament, Alabama will not be considered a tournament team, because I think they lose to Kentucky today. I think that one's going to be a close one. That one's kind of 50-50 in the air for me, but I think they lose at Kentucky. I think either way, win or lose today, they lose at Auburn. They probably beat Arkansas, so that's 1-2. I kind of think Florida might beat them, so that's 1-3. And I out of any of these games remaining on their schedule, I think A&M is a guaranteed loss. A&M is a guaranteed loss on the road. Alabama's going to lose that one. So 1-4. If there's a game I think they could probably win, it's Florida. So that's 2-3 maybe. So that puts them at what? What's their conference schedule right now?
I think
now?
They're going to go 2-3 down the stretch, and I think they're going to end up 19-12 going into the SEC tournament. And I think that is enough to get them in. I think they'll win a game in the SEC tournament as well if they end up an 8 or 9 seed. If they lose their first game in the SEC tournament, I think they'll end up a 10. But I got them at 8 or 9 right now.
Right now, I think the thing that's keeping them in is the fact they're, what, like 5-1 or 6-1 or whatever it is against ranked
opponents. They beat the teams that they're not supposed to beat, or that they're not supposed to beat on paper, but they had the talent to beat because they're a talented team, and then they lose to the teams they shouldn't, and they've done it all year.
If they go down this stretch and they lose to a Kentucky team who's dropped 4 straight, they're not very good right now on the road, and then they lose to Auburn on the road. That's Kentucky's not ranked, but they lose to an Auburn team that's ranked. That hurts their ranked record. They lose to A&M on the road. That hurts their ranked record. Alabama's already really not very good on the road. SEC's kind of been brutal on the road this year. That hurts, and that's I guess you can look at it as 2 good losses, but again, it goes against their ranked record. Now you go back and you compare their resume and you say, look at all these bad teams they lost to. Well, they did beat a bunch of ranked teams, but down the stretch, they didn't. They didn't really beat anybody down the stretch. They lost to just about everybody. So I think going in, ultimately, Alabama probably gets into the tournament. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying going into the SEC tournament, they're not considered a tournament team, and it's going to go to what I said all along, which is what me and you said 3 weeks ago. Alabama is going to have to do so. They don't get into the tournament until the SEC tournament. What they do in the SEC tournament is going to put them in the NCAA tournament.
I mean, they're going to do what Alabama basketball has done every year for several years. It's when they have a chance is to get on the bubble and make their fans sweat and be one of the last few teams that gets in eventually. It's just what they do. They are an inconsistent team. They don't shoot it particularly well. It just so happens this year that they've got a freshman phenom that just kind of helped lift them to a few big wins. They're just an inconsistent team. They're a talented team, but they're just inconsistent. And I think if they win today, they're in for sure. If they win today, no debate. I think they're in. I mean, they couldn't afford to lose out, but I think that basically this will solidify it if they win today or if they beat Auburn or Texas A&M. But I mean, they got their 3 tough games on the road coming up. I don't think they win any of them. I got Kentucky today, I got Auburn on Wednesday, and I got A&M. But I do think they win the 2 at home because Arkansas, Florida, both talented, but Alabama gets them at home. Alabama's talented as well. I think they go 2-3 down the stretch. They end up 19-12, win a game in the SEC tournament, 20-12. They're in as an 8 or 9 seed. That's how I think they're going to finish up.
And this is a Florida team that Alabama blitzed in Gainesville. It was like 68-50 or something like that. Yeah, 68-50.
It was Florida's worst shooting performance all season.
But I mean, Alabama doesn't perform well on the road, and they did in that instance.
They did.
I mean, they got a loss to Ole
Miss. Followed it up with a 4-point loss to Mississippi State.
Exactly. Mississippi State's not great, but at the same time, they lost to Ole Miss, who's really not very good. Ole Miss is looking for their first season under 500 in the 12 years that Andy Kennedy's been their head coach.
They also lost to Vanderbilt.
They lost to Vanderbilt. They lost at Vanderbilt, at Georgia.
They got beat by almost 20 points at Georgia.
And Georgia, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss are the worst teams in the SEC.
Alabama basketball is just an anomaly this year. I mean, they beat Auburn without Colin Sexton. John Petty hit 8 threes in that game, but still, they beat Auburn. And Auburn didn't play their best game for sure in that game. But
and still had a chance to win.
But still, nonetheless, Alabama got the W. It's just they're an anomaly.
They're a team.
They beat Tennessee by 20 points the other day. It's just unbelievable.
You're exactly right. They're a team that only gets up to play the tough-ranked teams. Now, that's their MO. So at the end of the season, if they lose to Kentucky, Auburn, and Texas A&M, three big games, if they lose all three of those, what are they? I mean, that's their identity all year long, and all of a sudden down the stretch at the end of the season, they're not that anymore. So that's my whole reasoning behind this. It's going to be tough to put a team who's not themselves anymore, who the only thing we're hanging on to this Alabama team getting into the tournament is the fact that they do get up to play tough opponents. But down the stretch, they potentially lost to three tough opponents, and that doesn't make them look so good because now you're weighing it and you're saying, well, down the stretch, they couldn't beat good teams. And then all season long, they couldn't beat bad teams. So does Alabama really deserve to get in? Let's look at the SEC tournament and find out. And I think in the SEC tournament, they'll do enough to barely squeeze in. I think it'll be a low seed like you think as well. High or whatever, however you determine that. As double-digit seed, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But
like I said, I think 10 is the lowest they'll be, but I think they'll be an 8 or a 9. And the thing is when they're an 8 or a 9, if they win that game against whoever's the other seed, which is the 8 or 9 is usually a 50-50 split game. Like, it's really even, probably the most even matchups you get in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. If they win that game, or how much will they get up for that? And it's an NCAA tournament game, but it depends on who they play. But I think if they win that game, they'll give the one seed, whoever they play, a run in the next round.
I've been preaching that same thing for a while. Now, I think that Alabama, if they get into the tournament, the game you sweat the most as an Alabama fan is that first round
game. Is that opening game.
Because if they get by that, everybody else they play most likely is going to be a higher-ranked team or a team expected to beat Alabama, and that's when they get up to play their best. And I think that once they get past the first round, they're a team to be reckoned with. They have the potential to make a run if they get past the first round.
I've seen them matched up with Texas in the opening round of the NCAA tournament in an 8-9 matchup, and
they've already played
this
year.
That's the last team that Alabama wants to see in the opening round of the tournament is Texas.
Texas already beat them by 16 this year.
I know. So. And Texas matches up well with Alabama with their size. Texas has very good length.
Mo Bamba's a lanky.
He's unbelievable.
Lanky freak.
He wreaked havoc on Alabama the last time they played. That's one of the last teams that Alabama wants to see if they get that 8-9 matchup in the NCAA tournament. But it's going to be interesting to see down the stretch what happens, where the seeds kind of end up.
What was your takeaway from that ranking, by the way? I mean, what did you think about some of the teams that were in there? Because the biggest joke, hands down, the biggest joke and that bracket reveal was Oklahoma being the last four seed in. Oklahoma's still considered a four seed. At the time they put that out, Oklahoma had lost 6 of their last 8. Now they've lost 7 of their last 9 after dropping one to Texas Tech on the road earlier in the week. And now Oklahoma is a broken team. They have forgotten how to win. It's the Trae Young show. That's not a good brand of basketball at all when you let one guy go out there. And I'm going to go and put this on record. Me and my stepdad talked about this the other day. If Trae Young does well and does get them into the tournament and they go far and make a run in the tournament or whatever, it's going to be great. We're going to pull for him. We're going to pull for Trae Young. We're going to pull for Oklahoma. We're going to root for him. But to be honest with you, I don't really like him. It's nothing against him personally. It's his brand of basketball. He's a good basketball player. I don't like the brand of basketball that comes with Trae Young. And it's 100% him and Lon Kruger's fault. Lon Kruger has done an abysmal job coaching this Oklahoma team this year. You had a guy last year who was Oklahoma's like second leading scorer who's averaging 4 minutes a game because Trae Young now. The only reason Trae Young did not go to Kentucky was because Lon Kruger promised him what Calipari could not, and that is if you come here, it's your show. You get to do what you want to do. And sure, he does pass the ball a lot. He averages 9 assists in most in the country. So he gets guys involved, but the problem isn't Here's the problem with Trae Young. He has to work you open. Trae Young is going to be the guy who pulls up and shoots deep, and he's been horrible at that lately. Or he's going to drive to the basket and shoot, or he's going to drive to the basket and give you the ball. What he's saying is, I'm going to get you open. You don't have to get yourself open. I'm going to do that for you. So literally, all you guys have to do is stand there and do nothing and let me do everything. And that's not a brand of basketball that makes me comfortable at all. And I don't think that makes anybody comfortable. One of the best parallels was earlier in the season. Oklahoma played Baylor, beat them in a 90-something shootout by 1 point, a bad Baylor team. And on the same day, Auburn was dominating somebody. And I got to see what my team was compared to what I want them to be. And that's just not a team that's going to make a deep run. So if you didn't know already, they made a big mistake in saying Oklahoma's going to be the last four seed in. And no matter what seed they are, they're going to struggle in this tournament. Make no mistake that they're going to struggle in this tournament. And speaking of Auburn, you know, seeing the team I want them to be, Auburn's 11-2 in their conference, 23-3 overall. What they're doing obviously is working. They haven't lost seven of their last nine games. The Auburn's one of the better road teams in the country. And they're 11-2 right now. They have a pretty tough schedule the rest of the way, but I still think my prediction is correct. That same Tony Mack minute that I had that said that Auburn loses to A&M tonight, I also said, but I still think they go on to win the regular season SEC title, which will be the first time since I think the 09-010 season, or the 08-09 season, it'll be the first time since then that someone besides Kentucky or Florida has won it outright in the regular season. I think there's been a tie one time, but I think Kentucky won that tiebreaker. So this will be the first time, and let's be honest, no matter who wins it, Auburn, Tennessee, maybe even Missouri or Alabama, Florida and Kentucky are not winning the SEC outright in the regular season this year. So this will be the first time since 08-09 that one of those two teams did not win it. Now my question to you, Aaron, is on one of the other tough conferences in the country that has a big winning streak right now, in the Big 12, Kansas has won the last, I think, 13 regular season Big 12 titles, 13 or 14. They currently sit a game back of Texas Tech in the Big 12. They play each other a couple games from now. Is this the year? Is this the year that Kansas is dethroned in the regular season?
I think it is, because
see, I want to believe. I want to believe what you believe. I believe that you believe that. But I don't. I still feel like Kansas
I agree.
Somehow
I think
pull this
is
out.
The if this is if it's going to happen, it's going to be this year. But I'm not going to believe it until the regular season actually comes to a close, because they're only one game back of Texas Tech, and West Virginia is of course one game back of them. So it's going to. I mean, it's going to come down to the wire. But Texas Tech is playing good basketball right now. They've won seven straight. It's going to be interesting to see, but yeah, you're right. It's like in almost 15 plus years or something that they've won
exactly
the Big 12 title.
Like I said, they play each other in a couple games, and I don't care who wins that game. I'm still saying Kansas is going to win this conference, because even if Texas Tech wins that game, I think Texas Tech drops a couple more. If Kansas wins, I think Texas Tech still drops a couple games and puts Kansas up there in a way they don't deserve it. I don't think Kansas is going to take this by any means is what I'm saying, but I think Texas Tech is somehow going to find a way to lose it and allow Kansas to win it again. It's just how it's always gone. And Texas Tech's remaining schedule is tough. I mean, they're at Baylor today, which should be a walk in the park. But then they play Kansas at home, or they go to Oklahoma State. Excuse me. Oklahoma State's been a giant slayer this year. They've beaten Kansas, and they've beaten West Virginia in Morgantown. So that'll be tough. And then they play Kansas, and then they turn around and go to West Virginia 2 days later. And then they play TCU to cap off the season. That is a brutal schedule for Texas Tech, and that tells me that Kansas is going to win it. If there's one team that I thought could win it based on how they're playing right now, it would be Oklahoma State, but they're too far down to come back and win this thing. But Oklahoma State's been the only giant slayer in the Big 12 beating some of these teams. But let's take a quick break, Aaron. When we come back, let's get into the last thing we brought up earlier in the show. Let's get your thoughts on the NBA All-Star Weekend, which I'm sure are negative and not very many. So we'll get to that right after the break right here. Tony Mack and the Triplet, 730, 1039, The Ump.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports.
Welcome back. Tony Mack and the Triplet here. Last segment on a wonderful Saturday morning, 1046. Carrying you all the way to 11 o'clock here. Last thing we need to get into, Aaron, we haven't talked about this yet. Let's talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend. And I can just see you light up. I can just see how much you're looking forward to this. How much you've enjoyed looking forward to this all weekend. Did you watch any of it yesterday at all?
I watched a little of the towards the end of the
whoa. 100% shocked you actually said you watched some. No, well, I'm not even going
to
lie.
Just the end of the celebrity game. We went out to eat last night, a couple of us, and it was on. And I watched them. Caught the very end of it. Saw Bubba Watson in there. Tried to save a loose ball.
He's in a tournament this weekend, and he's like in fifth place. And he's out there, you know, throwing his life on the line of basketball. I thought that was pretty cool.
But it was, the celebrity game's always fairly entertaining.
You didn't watch any of the Rising Stars game?
I did not watch any of that, no.
It was pretty exciting for the first quarter and a half. Team World couldn't miss. I said right before Tom's show ended yesterday that Team World is just, they seem too big, long, and athletic. And I thought they were going to win. I didn't think they were going to run away with it by 30 points, but Donovan Mitchell's out there throwing it off the backboard to himself in the first quarter, like first minute of the game. It was unbelievably entertaining for just like a quarter and a half. Then it just got out of hand again. Nobody wanted to play defense. Actually, Team World played defense in the last minute of the game and got booed because it was already out of hand, and Team USA started a dunk contest in the middle, right there at the end of the game, and Team World was actually playing defense, and they got booed for it. So that was something crazy to see, but I feel like the success of this weekend is really now starting to hang on what happens tonight, of course, which is always a wild card, but also what you got going on tomorrow. Now, tonight, the dunk contest is not a bunch of eye-popping names like we've seen before, but I will say this. Aaron Gordon did have to pull out of the contest because he got hurt, but I'll say this. Are you excited looking at the lineup right there I got in front of you? Because I'll tell you, this actually, surprisingly, is going to be a great dunk contest, I think.
Oladipo can really throw it down. I really don't know about some of those other guys just because I haven't watched them too much.
Larry Nance, I'm really not. Larry Nance has got some ups, but the guy I think to look out for, Dennis Smith Jr. was the guy in the summer league that everybody was praising because he's really athletic. He gets up and jams a lot, and I thought he was going to be a lot of fun to watch. But, man, Donovan Mitchell might be the guy. Go back today and watch what he did in the Rising Stars game last night. This kid's already probably going to win Rookie of the Year. And they're on an 11-game win streak, and he is just having, like, to quote our favorite guy in the world, he's having the time of his life. And I picked Victor Oladipo yesterday, but now, looking at it, seeing what he did yesterday, and him and Dennis Smith both, what they were doing in that game yesterday, I think it's going to be Donovan Mitchell, and I think this thing's going to be fantastic. Now, of course, it always, always, always comes down to execution. You could have incredible dunks, but you're going to have to throw them down the first time. You're going to have a lot of guys do cool things to enjoy it, but hopefully we can get a final round of Donovan Mitchell and Dennis Smith, and it could be like the Levine-Gordon contest from a couple years ago.
I tell you, that Levine and Gordon dunk contest, and I'm usually very disappointed in the dunk contest because typically there's not any big names.
Aaron Gordon got screwed, but go ahead.
And oh yeah, absolutely. That, I mean, what Levine did was great, but Aaron Gordon got robbed. Aaron Gordon should have won the dunk contest. Some of the things he did were sick, like literally had me in the floor.
Absolutely.
Like, it was absolutely unbelievable. I think the most impressive dunk that I've probably ever seen is the one that he did with the mascot, where he went over it and put his legs over the ball and grabbed it underneath, and then goodness.
Even his final dunk
blew my mind.
Even his final dunk where he grabbed it, he clutched it up, down, and then threw it down behind his head was insane. And you want to know how he got screwed? He got screwed by the perfect score, because him and Levine, like, Levine kept staying alive because Levine was throwing down 50s. Just like Aaron Gordon was. But Gordon's 50s were better 50s than Levine's 50s. He got screwed by a perfect score. The score should have been higher than a 50, and that's how he got screwed. Levine just had a couple better ones down the stretch, or better-looking ones, because that last dunk Aaron Gordon had didn't get a perfect 50, but it was a 50-style dunk. I mean, to jump, go under the basket, to clutch the ball above your head, and then bring it down and clutch and to clutch it below you, and then throw it down behind your head was sick. But it was really fast, and it didn't compare to the 360 free throw line dunk that Levine had. But Gordon had the better repertoire, I thought, and he got robbed in that one. But I think if Donovan Mitchell and Dennis Smith can make it to the finals, we could see something similar, because these kids have ups, man. I'm telling you right now, this thing can get crazy. The Blake Griffin jumping over the car one a few years ago was pretty good too, I thought.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And I mean, going back to where you had Dwight Howard and Nate Robinson, those are some good ones. But I tell you, I had not seen anything like it until the Gordon and LaVine won 2 years
best
ago.
Best dunk contest ever.
That's the best dunk contest I've ever seen. And it was the best one, I think, hands down, since Vince Carter's in, what was that, 2002 or 2000?
Yeah, 2000.
Yeah, and then that was the best one since Jordan and Dominique Wilkins in, like, what was it, 88, 85,
something like that. Something back then.
Yeah, so those are the
late 80s. Yeah.
It was one of the ones you always remember, that one a couple years ago. And see, I've kind of become where I don't really particularly care for props, but the way he used the mascot was perfect. Like, not too much, not too little. And still, that one just, the elevation on that one just blows my mind. It's just unreal.
He even had another one in that same contest with the mascot, where the mascot was on one of those little hoverboards. Those were really trending at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was spinning in a
rotating.
Circle. He was rotating, and he grabbed, man, it. He got robbed in that dunk contest, but we didn't, because it was incredible to watch as a fan. But you talked about the Nate Robinson, Dwight Howard one. I've seen a lot of dunk contests, like replays of dunk contests and stuff. The Spud Webb, Dominique Wilkins dunk contest is greater than the Dwight Howard, Nate Robinson dunk contest. It's essentially close to the same thing. But I think Dwight Howard like copped out by like dunking on a 12-foot goal at one point in that game, and it looked really simple. I know it's 12 feet, and he dunked on it like it was a 10-foot goal. But, I mean, it just wasn't as entertaining. And someone who's gone back and watched a bunch of those, it was something we'd seen before.
Yeah.
The Spud Webb being, what, 5'7",
mm-hmm.
against Dominique Wilkins, that was pretty cool to see.
Actually shorter than Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson, yep. Was he 5'9", and
something
Spud
like
Webb's about 5'7". That's unbelievable.
It was incredible. He had some – when short guys can get up and dunk with authority, it's even more fun to watch because of how high they soar. Like, I mean, you have we even had Muggsy Bogues. I don't know how high Muggsy Bogues can get, but he's the shortest guy, I think, to ever play in the
NBA.
Yeah,
I think he's 5'3".
So it's always fun to see guys like that play because they can get up. But with all this kind of – all the intrigue of this wraps up on Sunday with the new format with LeBron and Steph picking their teams. I think a little bit is dwindled away because LeBron – the main core of LeBron's squad got hurt. But he's still got KD. He's got Kyrie. He's got I think Curry got Giannis. But I can't remember – but
yeah,
I think LeBron's team's full of freaks, and I think they're going to win this thing, and I think they win it going away, pull away probably in the third quarter, and it's going to be high scoring again. I mean, I don't think you see the effort that we thought we might see, because I think all the intrigue with the matchups we wanted to see. I wanted to see LeBron go against KD, and I wanted to see LeBron go against Kyrie, and even Russell Westbrook. But LeBron has all those guys on his team. I'm not saying he copped out by getting them, but he has all those guys on his team. So I just think it's going to be a normal All-Star thing where people go out there, throw it down as hard as they can, take circus shots, and it's going to be high scoring again.
All right, I'm going to pose you a question.
Okay.
Last year, they broke the record for most points scored in an All-Star game with 374. Are you going over or under that number?
I'll go under. I still think it goes under because last year was a really sad moment in NBA All-Star history. I think it goes under this year. We did have a lot of All-Stars get hurt. We have a lot of younger guys in there this year. And
yeah, I'm going under, too.
But I still think it's high scoring.
Yeah, it's going to be, definitely. There's still going to be a bad showing of defense.
It's going to be a painfully upsetting game. The only thing that I hope is if it's in a high-scoring bout is at least still really close. If it comes down like the last shot or something, it still may just make me forget about there not being any defense. If you're going to go out there and score 150 points apiece, make me forget that you're not playing defense. That's all I ask for. You know what I mean? Just find a way to make it entertaining if that's the case. You know, you guys can go out there. I still think Tom Abraham has a great idea. Go 3-on-3. Have a 3-on-3 competition, a bunch of 3-on-3 contests with your all-stars, however many teams you want. Have teams of four, but three starters, you know, mm-hmm. one sub. I think that'd be the best way to go.
Kind of like the NHL does it.
Yeah, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to do it for Tony Mack and the Triplet. Aaron, thank you so much for coming in on this rainy Saturday and making the drive out here. We will see you guys next Saturday. We really appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend, and those of you who are celebrating it today or tomorrow, have a great Valentine's Day. We'll see you again next week. Tony Mack and the Triplet.